this rule is something that a lot of times is a little bit confusing, because it feels like for every industry or for every company, there's a different definition of what a product manager is. I didn't know that at all. Hi, everyone. Today I have with me Iris Yunengye. And I met Iris here at the University of Michigan, where she is completing her second year and her master's. And we were talking a day about her experiences and how she got into a product management role during her internship, which I believe is where she wants to be after. Yeah,
well, I will probably be returning back to the summer internship. I got a chance, so I'm excited to just continue there.
Okay, what we're going to do is basically today we're going to talk about product management. Iris, before we actually jump into it, I'm going to give you a few minutes to introduce yourself. A few seconds to introduce yourself. And then we will jump into this topic, because I know that this one will be an interesting one.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Sam. I think you already touched a lot of my background. I'm currently a graduate student. I'm second year in School of Information here at University of Michigan. And I met Sam in a Slack channel, and we talked about our experience, and we realized, okay, I came from PM, and Sam came from marketing, came from a lot of creativity. And there's so many people who love to learn more about other career tracks. So here I am, kind of talk through what is product manager. So my background was a little bit different from the most of the tech people in the industry. So I came from business, and I came into PM after that. So that was just a brief intro about myself.
So I guess like one of the reasons why I felt like this was a good episode to have is a lot of people who are in business school, or a lot of people who are doing different degrees, because we will talk about the fact that almost anybody could get into a product management role depending on, you know, like how they position themselves. But this role is something that a lot of times is a little bit confusing, because it feels like for every industry or for every company, there's a different definition of what a product manager is. So we'll try to unpack the role a little bit, maybe see what some of the core responsibilities or some of the core attributes are to this role, and see if we could help someone else who is trying to learn about it and maybe wants to become a product manager or PM, as we call it. So I guess my first question for you, Iris, is what exactly is product management? Can you define what it is?
Well, I would try to define it. As Sam mentioned, I think there are too many kinds of products in this world. And such as when we're talking about the whole product, we're talking about Apple, iPhone, like MacBook, and software aspect, we have Instagram and LinkedIn. All of those are whole product. But in terms of the product manager responsibility and what they do, it's much more detailed than we think what the product means. For example, I was working in a ride-hailing services company before coming to graduate school. In the ride-hailing services, we have product manager API. So just imagine how you fetch the data and how you manage the database. There are a team of people working on it. So in short, I will define product manager as a role in the disciplinary field of design, business, and technology. And this is more on the software side. So they have the idea of how this product, the logic behind it can go. And if we want to define a vision for it, what is the best way to move forward with the next step of this specific thing?
Okay. Before we continue, you said something, you said API. For those listening mm-hmm. that may not know what API is, can you tell us what API stands for?
API stands for Application Programming Interface. It is like a channel that you can get data from.
So thanks, Iris. That explanation was really helpful. So then, can you then tell us what some of the core responsibilities are of a PM? We'll probably say PM a lot in here just because it's shorter, and PM in this case is product management. So just so you know, everyone listening, but yeah, could you tell us a little bit about what the responsibilities are then?
Yeah, I will probably just use my ride-hailing product as an example all the way through this one. So in ride-hailing services, that PM role, first of all, is the one aspect is you have to get the logic. So you will be the designer of the logic of your product. It's not like the designer of the color, the interface, but you have to be the designer of the logic. So such as if this customer click on the right button on your app, and what is the next step for her or for him? Will he be brought to such as matching with a driver? Will he be brought up to matching up with and waiting in the line? So the logic behind it is the first part for a product manager, a PM. The second part was more after you get the idea, after you get the logic, you need to figure out the layout of the page, or we call it mockups. So mockups are the simple pages, such as now we are having an idea that we want customer to, when they are in the ride-hailing app, they should have a ride button they can click on so they can send us the request of a ride. Where should the button be located? Should that be at the bottom, or should that be on the side, or how big should that be? The basic idea of the design should be done by product manager, and designer will work on more details. So such as will that have the round corner, or will that be a blue color? And this is the second part, and the third part is more about business and technical. So the business part is understanding what is the company goal and how can our product serve the goal, such as in the ride-hailing services, we would love to bring more customers in. We would love to have more active users on the product. And how can this interface and how can our product serve the goal, such as we have some events coming up, and whoever comes in, if they register for the event and register in the app, they will have some rewards. And that can be a way we serve the company goal, the business goal at the end. From the technical perspective, after we got the logic, we need to talk to our engineering team to ask, okay, do you think it's working? It's feasible? If it's feasible, how long will it take? So it's more like a negotiation process with the engineering and technical team. So I think those are the three parts involved in the PM. Those are critical no matter which product you're working on.
Can product managers also work in non-tech industries? Like, can someone who is managing the production of deodorant be also called a product manager?
I think so, and it comes down to some of the definition in the world or in different fields. So such as in CPG, as you mentioned, working on deodorant, they might call a product manager as somebody who is managing the manufacturing product line. And that can also be product manager. It's just under the same, exactly the same two words we're using, but they're managing different inheritance of the products. It's not something digital, but rather it's a supply chain, such as in this supply chain, what are the improvements of the process to make it more efficient? And this can also be called product manager. And I think it's a really, really great question, also example, because as the product manager role is more and more prominent, especially what I see in the past several years, more company are using this title in their company. Not even not only the digital aspect, but also, as we mentioned, the physical aspect, the manufacturing, the car, the vehicle, and all of the things that you can imagine can be a product manager. It yeah. highly depends on how a company defines a product so far.
Yeah. I like that. And I always try to think about things like beyond their kind of like home base, right? Because for the people listening that may not have worked in tech or now becoming interested in working in tech, PM, that PM role is a huge term in technology. And like we were talking about, it sometimes varies what it's called in other industries, even though you do the same thing, essentially. So thank you for allowing me that segue in the conversation. Going back to what you were describing when you were talking about the core roles or the core responsibilities of a product manager, and I keep pausing when I say that because I always mix up product and program, and this is because I have a background in event management, but also doing like programming at my last job, not in terms of coding programming, but just like developing programs. So I don't know why I always mix up the two or I say the wrong thing, but that is why I keep like pausing before I say the word to make sure that I say the right thing that we're talking about.
I think it's really fair because I feel product manager also does a lot of program management thing.
Yeah.
They're in the work, so it's fair.
Yeah, and then you have like product marketing, which happens in tech as well, which is the same acronym.
And I also heard that because they want to distinguish those titles, so product marketing manager is currently acronym as PMM, just to distinguish those.
Yeah. I know, it's like, I felt like, you know, it's just so much, and acronyms are used so much in the world. Anyway, we could talk about all these different things for so long, but I'm gonna try to bring us back to where we were. Okay, so I love the fact that a product manager is really like someone who kind of stitches together all parts of a business. And if we kind of focus on the tech industry, because that's where the term and the role is used the most. You know, you talked about having to do some of the management side of it or the business side of it, where you try to make sure that this is something that could actually make money for the company. You also need to speak the language of the persons who have to create this thing, right? Those persons on the back end who are working with code or, you know, programming what the actual product will do. And you have to work with the creative people who will kind of actually come up with what it looks like. So a product manager then seems like they need to be a very all-rounded person, from what I'm hearing. So what do you think are some of the core qualities or personality traits of someone who makes a good product manager?
Yeah, I think the well-rounded, as you mentioned, is already one really critical quality for a great PM, or not even a great PM, but just when you're thinking about PM, if you want to transition into it, this is a great reflection to have on yourself, such as, do you feel that you can speak the language of other teams comfortably? How can you explain a really technical term, such as API? Probably I did a really great job, but it was a way that you communicate, such as when you're talking to your business team, they're like, oh, what is API? And you're like, okay, is application programming interface. And nobody understands that. So need to interpret it and also internalize it into your own language. So this is already a critical quality of a PM. And the second one I would personally put is the ability that you can do the logical thinking at the back of it, and how you can turn a abstract concept or ambiguous problem into some actionable steps. This was what I struggled a lot at the beginning, such as I was given a problem right now from my manager. How can we increase the number of active users on our app? It sounds easy. It's just active user. Okay, you are thinking, okay, it's just getting people in, right? But how can you make it into some actionable steps? What I mean actionable is not only actionable to you as a PM, but also actionable to technical team, to all of the collaborators you have, such as US, such as your operations. If we are just talking about active user, it's ambiguous because there's no set problem. It's just active user. So one way that you can probably do is you divide your user into three categories, or just how many segmentations you have. You identify from all of the writers, I can divide them by the age group. For the younger generation, they are more likely to have writing during weekends or Fridays. I'm just making an example. And for the middle-aged people, they're more likely to have ride during the weekends when they're taking their kids out. And for the older generation, they are more likely to have ride than when they really need it. They don't want to spend money on that. So these can be some segmentations. And after you break it down, you realize, okay, probably those middle-aged people are my target group. Because they have more stable behavior throughout the period. This is just one example of the ambiguous problem. So now, with that problem having in, and you have the user segmentations that I can step up and bring up a product, such as I can make a proposal of we have a card for those middle-aged people. You can only buy it if you are within 30 to 40 ages, if you have a family. And with that card, you can reuse it without limitation, and you have 80%, 20% off, and for each of your ride. So we are encouraging you to use our platform whenever you're taking your kids out. So this can be one solution, right? There can be all of the others. And whenever you're pitching this product idea within the team and to others, it's always a reasoning, the whole reasoning of why this is the problem, why this is feasible, what are the numbers that can prove it, and why we're doing it. It's always the whole process of the logical thinking. So I think the second quality is turn an ambiguity into tangible actions in the work. I would say these two are just the most two important two things I learned from my past work.
I feel like those are some core qualities, and we could talk about this now, because one of the things I mentioned earlier is that, in our research, right, what we talked about and what we found is that almost anyone can go into this PM role. No matter what their background is, because there's so much of those, I guess, non-technical elements that support the role. So do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, you came from a different background, right? You didn't come from a PM role. What have you seen in terms of persons transitioning from other roles into this type of role?
I thought about it a lot in the past several months, especially when talking with others, such as we can see everybody with any background can fit in the PM role, but why is it still really hard? It doesn't seem like the bar is high, but it's hard to get in. It's counterintuitive. So that was also for me. And one similar role I can thought about is a consulting field. Everybody can be a consultant. Not sure how much the audience know about consulting, but just give a brief background. So consulting role is they don't care about if you're a technical person. They don't care about if you're from business school. You can come from history background. You can from arts background. You can come from mechanical engineering. And when you're going into the world, a noun consulting firm, they don't really care about your major. And it seems like everybody can be a consultant, but the bar is really high in the interview process. Probably admitted rate is even lower than Harvard and MIT, right? In the interview. Sam, you're from business school, you might know it. Like how hard that is.
It is very hard, yes. I don't know the statistics because I did not recruit for consulting. But I do know, yes, exactly what you're saying, that they accept people with almost any background. And I guess it's more focused on, can you actually transfer your skills into the roles that you need, right? Similar to a PM role, like, can you be logical about this? And, you know, can you communicate across different teams and stuff like that? So this is actually pretty similar.
I think you already brought up a really important thoughts or just thinking is the transferable skills. Like, how can you transfer your skills from your previous role into, for example, you, if anybody wants to go to PM, how can you transfer your software engineer skills into a PM? There are so many overlapping. So the counterintuitive part is it sounds like a low bar, but it's actually a lot of insidious high bar or just not quantifiable. I personally think if one thing is quantifiable, it's always easier. Such as when we can quantify software engineer skill sets, you just need to be great at coding, make less mistakes, and be great at thinking, and can code fast and think fast and explain your code well. So these are more quantifiable compared with PM. I'm not saying software engineer is easy, but because their standards and measurement are more quantifiable. So for candidates, when they're seeking into the field, they have more directions, such as where should I go? I probably need to do lead code to practice. But for product manager, it's less quantifiable. They are looking into your skill sets in solving the ambiguity. They are looking into your skill sets in thinking, and they are looking into your ways of communication. Is it clear enough to be a product manager that can handle several teams? So my thoughts on this, just the hard aspect of a seemingly transforming into PM is the skill sets. Probably a lot of you have the skill sets, but the hard part is how you demonstrate it, both in your resume and both in your interview. The way you have it is different from that you can prove it. So there's a gap in between these two. That's the reason why it's really hard. And I totally agree with the transferable skills part. I believe everybody has some transferable skills into PM, such as if you were marketing, you already knew a lot of operations, much more than I do, or much more than any PM do. But how can you demonstrate that into the product setting? So such as I did a logical thinking on my product marketing before, I helped the marketing campaign, but how was it happening? Instead of the results you're showing your resume, what was your thinking process at the marketing campaign? Did you prove it ahead of time? Did you talk to your teams? So I think the transferable skill part, definitely emphasize on it, but on the other hand, prove it in your interview or prove it in your process of recruiting.
Yeah. What can you say apart from what you talked about? Because a lot of what you said sounds enjoyable to me, right? But may not be enjoyable to everyone. So what would you say, in your opinion, what would you say in your experience has been the best parts of being a PM and the not so great parts of it as well?
Yeah, for the good part, well, before even diving into the question, I think just take a step back. I think I'm more on the logical thinking person, so I don't feel uncomfortable doing that, solving the ambiguity. It might not be the case for everybody, and it comes to the question of, do you feel like you're a great fit for this role? I think one way it sounds attractive because you can always deal with different questions and different problems, and it's human nature that we always love things new, so we want to do something new. That is definitely attractive for the PM role. But on the other hand, are you comfortable dealing with ambiguity? Just you feel stuck sometimes. I just don't know how to make a product that aligns with my company code. That happens a lot. So are you comfortable being in an ambiguity? And for this part, I love the ambiguity. I love the problem solving. I love the logical thinking. I love the way to explain one idea into 5-year-old language or to a professional language. Depends on my audience. I love all of these aspects of my job. For the other side, what I don't really enjoy, I think I still struggle with how to commit to meeting, but at the same time, focusing on my work. Because as a PM, I had so many collaborators, such as my business people, my UX person, my engineering team. When they come in together, I have a whole day of meetings, nonstop, just talking through, okay, what is this product? What's your progress? I struggle a lot with how to find a balance between talking to people versus getting the information into something, processed information into something that's usable. After the meeting, I need some time to take notes. And after everything is a day, like 5 p.m., how can I think through things? So that's something I don't really enjoy right now, but I think it's worth working towards.
Yeah, so another skill we need to add in there is, I guess, time management or something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
as always.
Yeah. Would you say that it's very like mentally demanding? Or is it more like, you know, doable? It just time gets lost in all of these meetings. What would you say there? Like, is it, do you think it's like, it's not investment banking, right? Which is like a very, very intense job. Consulting is also considered a very intense job. But would you say that a PM role is somewhere up there with something very intense? Is it something that you could manage if you, you know, put in a little bit extra? Or I don't think it's a light role, so I won't even ask. But I guess, like, in terms of the scale of demanding, where would you put it on the scale?
Yeah, for the company I have been in, probably depends on the company, but for the company I have been in, the hours of working was not too long. Is not 100 hours per week, that type of demanding. But I think the demanding part is the density within an hour. So even if it's an 8-hour work, but within each of the hour, you don't really have a break. Your brain is constantly functioning and you need to respond it fast. So I think it was still demanding for me, even though it sounds like it's 8 hour is the standard hour that everybody is expecting. But I feel exhausted after a day. I feel I talk too much or my brain was overloaded. I had that feeling in my own body, the physically demanding part. Yeah. And mentally, I think it's okay because I enjoy the talking to people and collaborating with them. But the exhaustion still comes up after that. The great part is, even though it was tiring, it was exhausting, I still feel accomplished or achieved. So that sense of achievement was my reward, I guess, even though that was exhausting and dense. Okay.
I think that's a good outlook, because I feel like when you enjoy something, the weight of it is a little bit less, even though it is a lot.
I know, right? Yeah. But the way that enjoyment can take off a lot of loads of the mental capacity, I just feel it, just enjoyment and also your interest in the job or at work is irreplaceable.
I think like everything we talked about has been great, but now I know you touched a bit on your experiences, but I really want to hear about like your career journey, right? I know you had like a finance degree initially, I think, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I did. I was finance major.
Yeah. So maybe then walk us through like, you know, you went from being a finance major, but at some point you knew that you wanted to get into this PM role, or did it fall in your lap? Like, how did your journey to PM happen?
Thank you so much for the question, first of all. I guess it will be a really long answer, but I'm trying to keep it short. I majored in finance in college. Just looking back in introspectively, I realized when I was choosing the major, I did not research into the career path. I was just looking into the major, so such as what my college I want to get into, what is the major I want to be in. But I don't know anything about finance career. I have never heard about investment banking when I was in high school, to be honest. I never thought about, even just analyst, never thought about it. But I, when I was choosing the major, I wanted to do something in the interdisciplinary field of math, physics, and some of the communication, because I enjoy my STEM majors when I was in high school. So I still want to do it, but I want to talk to people. I don't want to be in like a pure research, math, pure physics. So, okay, I was just looking into the list. I was like, okay, finance can be something. Then I chose it. But 2 years into college, I got into college in 2016. And 2 years into college, I was constantly questioning myself, what kind of life or what kind of career do I really want to do in the end? I tried several. I tried accounting. I tried finance research. I tried data science, because data science was such a huge field in 2018 and 2017. So I tried everything. I enjoyed most of them. I enjoyed the parts that I can solve the problem. But there was just something missing. So such as in the finance research, the whole journey of the research was several years. And I realized if I really want to be in the field, I have to be a PhD and I have to be professor or at least researcher. Do I want to spend my whole 20s and 30s in research or in the academia or in the program? Probably not. that was the thinking process. And when I was doing data science, I enjoyed the problem solving part, but I was not too good at statistics, to be honest. So I don't feel like I can excel in the field. That was the whole exploration. So in college, I just mainly tried everything I could. In the junior year, I got a chance to get involved in the startups in Bay Area in California. So through that, those two, because in startups, you just wear all of the hats on your head. There's no definite title. There's no definite position you were in. I was working in business sector because I majored in finance, but I got involved in the product designing or just thinking about the logic of the algorithm. I felt a lot of incentive, even though there was no like a finance incentive. There's no incentive the traditional we are thinking about. The most incentives came from the bottom of my heart. I want to do it. I realize I have the passion for it. So back then, I did not even know that product manager is a position. I had never heard about that before.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And so, but when I did some research, I realized there's a position is doing these type of work. That was the aha moment, or that was the moment to realize, okay, I want to be here, but how? So I stayed in the startups. I went to different startups and still doing this similar thing, wear different hats, not defining my identity in there. But I got exposure of all of the products in the early stage. And I learned how a product is coming from zero to one. This is not something I can learn from a big name company. This is only from startups. We worked from all the way from pre-seed round to Series A. That was a huge jump there. So the product came from nothing to at least usable. I think that was just lucky and fortunate that I was able to get involved in it. So with that experience and with both the startup experience and also some school projects, I was able to get in another bigger company internship. And because of the bigger company internship, I stayed in the company. I accepted the full-time job, I stayed there. So that was an accumulation of everything coming together and leads me to what I have right now. So I just feel like I was really lucky through the journey. I got different exposure, even though I did not came from a CS background or just the typical majors a company would expect.
I'm always amazed when I listen to how someone gets to some point in their career, because in the moment when things are happening, we don't always realize what is happening. You know, like we're always like, oh no, like, well, this is not exactly what I wanted or not exactly what I was searching for. But then when we get to a point and you take a beat and you look back and you're like, oh, you know, that if it wasn't for this experience, I wouldn't really have been able to communicate my skills in a certain way, or to like show or demonstrate like what I could do. So I think that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. And now you are doing a master's. How do you think this degree will help, or what do you hope to get out of doing this degree that will help you in your career after?
When I was in my full-time job, before coming back to graduate school, I was in my full-time job. There were countless moments that I was reflecting on my work, on my job, and where I can go next. I'm probably more on the side of the thinking for the next person. So I was thinking what I can go next. I found it hard to advance in a technical company if you don't know anything about coding or know anything about the technical knowledge, at least. What I tried was, during the full-time job, I tried to do self-taught some classes such as Coursera, such as EDX, such as Udemy. There were a lot of platforms. I tried to learn myself, but it did not end up well. It was not systemic. It's scattered all over the places. After several classes, I was still not able to code anything out confidently. So that was the decision that I made. I thought I probably need to go back to school to have some systemic learning from the class, from the professors who know better, much better than I do. Just not give up, but just have a pause on the career. But it doesn't mean I'm going to giving up on it. Just pause it here and then see how I can combine my technical skills with my experience later after the school. So that was the whole journey, coming to graduate school and here talking with you, like in Ross and UMesh, right? If that was, and as you said, when I was hearing you talking about, okay, if not this doesn't happen, the other thing will never happen. I was always constantly thinking about it. If I did not come to school, I would not get the chance to learn or know more people. And if I don't know the people, I would not be able to talk to you. And if I don't know talk to you, I would never know that you have a podcast. There's just so many coincidences coming up.
Yeah. And I like that you said that, because when I met you and was talking to you, you actually did a podcast recently. Are you able to share that? Like, if you are, I could always like link it for someone else to listen. Maybe you could tell us about.
Sounds good.
Yeah, like if you could share where you were for your internship and this podcast that you did, I'll be happy to share it with our listeners.
Sure. Yeah. I will definitely be happy to share it. So those two podcasts was what I did during my summer internship in Microsoft in the Cambridge office. And I was connected randomly with another intern in Belgium. And we together did a podcast, because that was part of the internship. They have done it several years. And both of us really enjoy podcasts. They really enjoy talking to each other and sharing it. So I will definitely share that with the audience and with you.
Awesome, awesome. So if you've made it to this point in our episode, look for a link in the description or on our website where I will link to Iris's other podcast, where she talks a bit more about her internship, some experience she had there. And it's really helpful and will be a great complement to this conversation. So I'm so glad you were able to share that.
Thank you for the advertisement there.
No problem. So then, Iris, having gone through your journey so far, which is, you know, you're very early in your journey still and you have a long career ahead of you, but with the experience that you've had so far, what would you tell someone, or what would you advise someone who might be in any role right now, but is thinking that, you know, a PM role might be something that is right for me, but I really don't know where to start, what to read, what to listen to, like, besides this episode, of course, what would you tell them is the next steps that they should take to get into being a product manager?
Okay, yeah, I don't want to put myself as a teacher role because I'm just really early in my career. Just several things. When I was reflecting on my journey, try out different things if you are interested in. Try to find some low-cost opportunities for them. What I mean by low-cost opportunity, such as you work in a startup as an intern or you do a school project, will not take you too long. It's probably 3 hours a week or 5 hours a week for a project, 20 hours for an internship per week, or even 10 hours if you can find some company more open to part-time. So some low-cost commitment, but you still have to taste. Those are perfect for a kickoff of your reflection on if PM is the right position to you. I always believe that even though you get a lot of articles from online, you can hear me talking, but those are all my experience. I cannot speak for anybody, and the article cannot speak for you. Mm-hmm. So, and everybody's unique. So such as you can enjoy ambiguity. There's nothing wrong if you don't enjoy it. So it doesn't mean that if you're a total failure, if you don't want to be PM after you're trying. So in short, the first thing I find helpful is just try out with a low cost if possible. And the second is talking to people who have worked there before. You might think a company is great, but after talking to the person, you realize, okay, I'm going to touch the company at all. The manager sounds horrible. It's highly likely that this happens. So talking to the people and talking to alumni, if you have, not referring to any company so far, but it's likely, right,
that yeah, if you're it talking does, to it does happen, yeah. Managers are people, yeah. Too, so yeah, it happens.
Right, we all know, if anybody worked sometime, even if you have not worked yet, if you're in school, you know that some professors teach better than the other, or some of the classes functions better than the other. It doesn't mean that if you don't like it, it's your fault. Mm-hmm. And so this is the second one, just getting more information. And the third one, I would just say, you can listen to some podcasts, or just listen to, read through some articles. Those are the two ways I personally enjoy. But if you enjoy watching video, that's totally up to you. Just watch it as your leisure, such as when you're driving to school, driving to work, listen to it, and hearing what is going on in product and what does a product manager do. Apple Podcasts has some, YouTube has some, and you can just search online for such as I want to be a product manager in manufacturer. Some keywords will help you to lead you to the way. So these are the three I personally find really helpful, and I'm still following it. If I want to learn something, I talk to others. I reach out to them.
I love that. I love that. So little elbow grease and you should be good to go. Earlier on, we talked about in your resume, maybe highlighting your processes more than the outcome, right, for this particular role. And then I guess in the interview, how do you think someone that may not have worked, let's say you as a PM, you need to tell the coding team something, but you have a very small bit of experience when it comes to code. So you maybe know what HTML is, you probably know what Python is, but you've never actually used it, and you're being interviewed for a role where you would have to talk to people that are using this on a daily basis. If you get to the point of an interview without that experience, do you think that there are some things that people could do to show that they can do it? Or do you think it's crucial to go and get some experience with some of the technical elements of what the role might entail? Like, how would you approach that situation?
Got it. Okay. Well, I have another thought, but remind me to talk about it after answering this question or talking through this question. I will personally divide it into two scenarios. The first scenario is you already got an interview and you know that they're gone. Ask some technical questions. How can we do it? First of all, there are a lot of system design interviews online in YouTube channel. I watch it, and you, the way I will do is I will follow the interview, the sample interview online on YouTube, and then I follow it, and then I pause it and then redo it myself, and then I will talk. Ideally, you can talk to someone that can do the mock with you, but if you don't have the person, talk in a room and talk it loud instead of talking it silently. So talking it loud, you will realize there are the words that you pick is not appropriate, or there's so many pauses, or that you still cannot explain the idea clearly. So talk it loud in a room. So that's the first scenario. If you happen to get an interview and you know it's going to be technical, watch the key concepts on YouTube, or searching for the key concepts. At least you know what is data structure. At least you know what is API. At least you know the common terms there. The second scenario I would imagine is do you really need technical skills? I'm a huge advocate that you transfer your previous skills into something rather than you learn something from scratch in a short amount of time. Such as if you happen to be a marketing manager, try to look for some product manager role in the operations focused company, such as consumer products, such as Tinder, for example. I'm just using an example. Tinder is not too technical, let's be honest. It's the features are not complicated as the cloud computing products, such as AWS. Tinder has more simple feature of how, if you are liking the person, that you will be saved in your profile. And if you don't like the person, it will be gone and the algorithm will be updated with your preferences. So this is the core of the Tinder products. Using that as an example, if you're a marketing person and you don't have any technical background, looking for some company that has simpler logic products that you have a higher odds getting in. I would personally think it's a smarter way rather than you just try really hard to get into the technical role. That might be more efficient. So these are just the two takeaways I have for the technical aspects of a product.
Yeah. Thank you. That is, I think that's like some really great answers to that problem. So thank you for that. And then you told me to remind you of another thought that you had.
Yeah. Okay. Let me think. I had some thought. Oh, okay. Yeah. We talked about the product manager, the title before, and what we did in the role. It just occurred to me because of the not abusive use, but just the so wide range of the use of this title, the work you're expecting might not be the one that you're looking into, such mm-hmm. as if you're looking into a software product manager, and if you're just searching through the keywords of product manager, you can probably come into some manufacturing product manager that might not be aligned with your own hope or your own idea. So whenever you're looking into the role, I would partly is doing the research on the company, what are the industry the company is in before you're applying for it. And the second part is why we need to talk to people working there. We need to understand how the people are using their skills. Are they really using the software skills you are expecting? Probably not. So sometimes the company are just using the product manager title there. It can be more leaning to a project manager, which you don't want to do, or probably more leaning to project you want to do. It highly depends on this context. So the one other thought I had was just not focusing too much on the title, but focusing on the inheritance of the work nature, and also understand what you are good at. If you're good at technical stuff, you can probably do technical program manager. It's not a product manager title, but you will be a great fit and you will still be able to use your skill sets in it. And if you realize I'm better at marketing, you can do a product marketing manager. You will also be able to do some of the PM responsibilities, but you will not be feeling painful, such as as a marketing person going to tech is completely lost in the first several weeks. I don't think it's great in the first. Just don't pay too much attention to the title. pay more attention to the inheritance of the word.
I love that piece of advice. I really do, because I feel like I just listened to someone from the career office giving work advice. So I think that is a great way to approach it, because I have seen that. I have seen a few roles that look like what you think it is, but then when you read the description, it really is a little different. Thank you so much for that. That was like a wonderful way to bring us to the end of our conversation today. I feel like we learned a lot about the role, especially for someone that may not have known about it before. We looked at some core responsibilities, maybe some core innate skills and interests that a person might have who wants to get into this role. And we even talked about, you know, like how you would make that transition, right? Depending on where you're coming from or what experience you've had. Is there anything that we did not touch on today that you want to share before we wrap up our call?
Yeah, I think, Sam, you did a great job just answering the question. Just one last thought from me of the how we perceive career is more of my philosophy, probably philosophy side of that. I always feel the career path is not a one end path. You can go any directions and you can achieve the same type of achievement and the same type of awarding, feeding at the end. So it's not like, if everybody's talking PM, if you're not talking about it, it doesn't mean that you're wrong, right? I just want to clarify that. It's just one choice, and it happened to be popular these days. It might not be as popular as this several years later. So there's nothing wrong if you don't like it, if you don't want to talk about it. It's just a clarification on that.
Thank you. I think that was a perfect way to end our conversation today, that, you know, what is your journey, someone else's journey is someone else's. I love that. I don't even want to say anything more to remove that last memory from our listeners today. I just want to take this moment, Iris, to tell you thank you for spending this time with me. Thank you for sharing what you know and for sharing your journey. This was a great conversation, and I hope that our listeners really got a good sense of what the product manager role is. So thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Don't forget to share this episode with someone else who could benefit from hearing about it. You can also engage with us on social media, and you can find all links on our website. See you at the next one.